Welcome, everybody, to another episode of ServiceNow Insights. I'm your host, Bobby Brill. Today, we're tackling something that every organization dealing with AI needs to understand, and most haven't fully figured out yet. How do you actually govern AI at scale? How do you keep track of everything, manage the risk, stay compliant with a growing stack of regulations, and still move fast enough to stay competitive? So we've pulled together two conversations that together give you the full picture. First, we're going to hear from Ravi Krishnamurthy, Peter Waite, and Sampada Chavan, three folks behind ServiceNow's AI governance approach and the product at the center of it, AI Control Tower. They explain why hidden AI is one of the biggest enterprise risks right now, and why governance, done right, is actually what lets you move faster, not slower. Then we bring in Andrea LaFountain and Navdeep Gill from ServiceNow's legal and responsible AI teams, who break down the regulatory landscape, the EU AI Act, the Colorado AI Act, NIST, and what the deadlines are and what it costs you if you wait. So whether you're a CISO, a product leader, or, like the rest of us, deeply immersed in AI, then this conversation today is what you need to take a listen to. So first off, let's get into it with Ravi Krishnamurthy.
You said it right. AI is everywhere. It's in every little thing. Almost everybody in the company wants to or is trying to do AI. So you're AI all over the place. But AI at the end of the day, statistically, could do things that you don't intend it to do. So there's a tremendous excitement of the potential of what AI can do, but there's also tremendous fear for what harm it could do. So there's a feeling of there's a loss of control, especially for people in the company whose job it is to protect the company and their customers.
Right, because it seems like with everyone being tasked to bring AI into their workflows, there's a lot of experimentation. There's a lot of, hey, this looks good. I can try it, but I don't really know if that's going to pass my security issues in my company at all. So this is something we need to focus on, correct?
That's correct. There's a lot of risks. Technology always has risks, but AI kind of amplifies existing risks and creates new risks. So how do you deal with them? What are those? It's when it's hidden AI, you don't even know what you don't know. And that's like it's a scary place to be, especially if you're interested in control, you're interested in managing the enterprise and driving value as well. It's not just about risk. A lot of AI doesn't give you value. It's just stuff that consumes a lot of GPUs and not good for the environment. And then it's just exhaust, right? So there's how do I make sure I'm delivering value? How do I make sure I'm minimizing risk?
And the thing is, it's not just the AI your team intentionally deployed. It's everything your employees have already brought in on their own. Now we'll hear from Sampada Chavan.
This is interesting. Customers might not know, or organizations might not know, that they and their employees are using a lot more AI than they think they know. And that is the discovery problem, right? Like every organization, every customer wants to embrace AI, bring around that digital transformation. And they have their own initiatives of saying that, okay, we are going to be delivering Microsoft Copilot, or we are going to have Workday to help with our reporting and HR practices. And those are like initiatives that are known. But with the advent of GPT, ChatGPT, and a bunch of products that are out there, it has actually become very easy for an end user like you and me to go and embrace your AI and use it for our day-to-day activities. So this is where you are now seeing employees go out on their own and start using ChatGPT, or they could be using Perplexity, or they could be using a lot of these hundreds and hundreds of free tools that are available that just helps them to get their job done super easily, because that's what AI promises. And while it is absolutely important, right, like AI is going to drive that productivity, it is going to bring that value to all of the teams, very soon customers are realizing that, well, they don't have a full visibility on everything that's within their organization. There's that AI sprawl that's out there. And when they actually go to run that discovery, that's when they're going to see that, oh, it's 2, 3, or maybe like 10 times the AI that is actually being used than they thought it would be.
This tension we actually at ServiceNow believe can be made an end. That is, you can build trust and move fast. It's a good analogy is, if you pave roads and people drive on paved roads with rules, you get a lot more traffic through than if everybody off-roaded with no rules. And so essentially, governance is a word that brings up like blocking and breaks and so on. Reality, it's a massive accelerator. Risk management is an accelerator. Good risk management is an accelerator. I'm an innovator. We are all innovators. We do AI risk management and AI security are very hot, important topics today, without which companies will not scale their AI work. Our goal is to drive value from AI, service to human beings from AI.
So paved roads with rules is really the best way to think about it, because a lot of people will think when they hear governance, their first instinct is that it's going to slow us down. But the argument here is exactly the opposite. And ServiceNow didn't just theorize about it. They actually built the product to prove it. So here's Peter Waite and Sampada Chavan on how AI Control Tower works in practice.
At some point, you really have the business saying, we really want to move fast, right? But at the same time, you have the risk team saying, I'm not really sure if we really want to do this, right? And so that's why you have this back and forth. And at ServiceNow, we really made sure that governance at the same time is not a blocker, it's a strategic enabler, exactly as Ravi said. We need governance to go faster, right? Another analogy is that we like to use is rock climbing. With the rope, you're actually much faster than without, because you're always worried about, like, am I making the right step, right? And that's what we're thinking about governance here as well at ServiceNow. We really want to use it as an accelerator to actually accelerate our product development for our customers so that they have the best possible trusted products at hand that they can use, right? And one of the examples from our own experience was we ultimately learned the multiple years of building AI products that these static checklists, these manual reviews and so on, like, just doesn't really work.
Information is not in one single place, right? And you have to go find people. You have to go find people who work on it. They may or may not be still around. Who knows what happened like 6 months ago? And this is where having that information in one single place, having those relationships and actually making sure that the processes as you go along in that life cycle have accounted for that information actually just makes it very easy. So as we talk about the product later on, we can definitely deep dive into it. But to Peter's point, it's like you're baking in your governance in the life cycle. It's not a checklist at the end.
Not a checklist at the end. That's the key phrase right there. And it connects directly to the regulatory side of this, because if you haven't built governance into your process from the start, and a regulation kicks in, as it invariably will, you're going to spend weeks trying to reconstruct what you actually have and what you've actually done. So here are some more thoughts from ServiceNow's AI legal and responsible AI experts, Andrea LaFountain and Navdeep Gill, to map out exactly what's coming and what enterprises need to know and what they need to be doing right now.
So I think we're going to focus on three today, but we'll caveat that there are many, many more out there, right? This is like a very booming area of law. So I think the EU AI Act, that's the biggest one, right? It's very risk-based. And I think it's considered really like at the forefront of AI regulation, right? It's the first one with teeth. The Colorado AI Act is another one that's pretty focused on discrimination, preventing discrimination, consequential decisions. But I'll note many more state laws are coming out, right? We see a bunch in California, but Colorado is certainly one that's gotten a lot of press. And then in the U.S., we have the NIST framework, which is not a law. It's not a regulation, but it's a voluntary framework. A lot of companies have adopted it, and it's been pretty central to a lot of, key regulations like Colorado. The breadth of emerging AI regulations is pretty similar to what we saw when GDPR came down in 2018 to regulate personal data. You had GDPR being kind of like this big central important law. And then after that, you had a lot of nations and US states passing their own legislation, some very similar to GDPR and some following a very different framework. So I think this problem, this issue of having lots of different emerging regulations is something we've seen before, and the approach doesn't really change, right? So similar to what we saw with GDPR, the EU passed the EU AI Act. So for a lot of companies, it makes sense to use the EU AI Act to set your internal compliance goals. And I think from then, you know, you would track subsequent regulations that your organization might be subject to. And then you would try to measure the delta between those regulations and the EU AI Act, right? And then you would do an assessment to determine, does your organization have controls in place to meet that new regulation, or do you need to go back and tweak things and build additional controls? And so I think when you break it down like that, it's a bit easier to attack. But I think kind of like, you know, using this approach of like measuring the delta when new regulations come out, it's a pretty common scalable approach to emerging regulation.
So here's the part that really puts it into perspective, the sheer scale of what enterprises are actually dealing with. And let's hear from Navdeep Gill.
The math on this can be, you know, pretty large, pretty exponential, depending upon the size of the organization and what type of AI is being used, for example. So you can imagine a situation where, let's say, you know, it's a big company, they've deployed like 100 AI systems for various use cases. So they already have 100 out there, right? Now, each one, since it's deployed into the real world, there will be legislation attached to each one, most likely, depending upon what regions they deploy in. So now you're at, you know, obviously a larger number. You have to worry about what you've deployed from just like engineering quality standpoint, but now there's this whole compliance factor as well. And also, and you know, in addition to that, a lot of times, especially today, like with Gen AI and everything, employees are using AI tools all the time for, you know, being productive. You have to account for that too, to a certain degree. And then, you know, a lot of companies use third parties all the time for other things. If AI is embedded in there, I don't want to say you're fully responsible, but there is something that, you know, falls on your lap in that point as well, depending upon how you use that tool. So it's exponential. It's exponential 100%.
Exponential. And that's before you factor in the third-party tools embedded in your vendor contracts or the AI your employees adopted last Tuesday without telling IT. This is exactly what AI Control Tower was built to handle. Full inventory, continuous compliance tracking all in one place. Here's how that connects directly to the specific regulations and deadlines you need to have on your radar.
Within the AI Control Tower itself, you can kind of think about it as like a smart home where it kind of detects all these different AI sources that you have through connectors. So major connectors like AWS Bedrock or Azure, things like that. AI Control Tower has a way to connect to these providers. And with that, we can get access to, you know, the agents you have, the models, the data sets, everything. And all of that gets imported into the AI Control Tower. So by doing that, you get full visibility, not just into what you have running from ServiceNow, but what you have running, you know, overall. So your whole AI picture is being shown to you on this monitor on a daily basis, which allows you to keep track of things when it comes to risk, performance, you know, anything of that nature. We enable that for you with AI Control Tower.
So obviously we know that good governance makes deployment just work better. And of course, automation is the key. That's really, you know, what ServiceNow is all about. How does that architecture work? Or what are some of the things we need to think about when it comes to this architecture, Navdeep?
Yeah, when it comes to like using governance to kind of accelerate everything of that, like you do need to think about this whole universal discovery, which is what we were just talking about. You need to understand that when it comes to certain legislation, it'll vary across regions. So you need to account for that. And you need to account for that in your AI systems, in your documentation, your compliance. You kind of have to have, you know, like policy as code, so like rules that can kind of enforce themselves, and then continuous compliance. So by that, what I mean is it's not enough to just be compliant at this particular point in time. You have to be proactive about keeping track of these legal changes that are happening all the time. Like we just talked about how California is always having things come out. The EU AI Act kind of does like a rolling type of update. So like they had requirements for 2025 and now there are more requirements for 2026. So 2025 really focused on models, for example. So imagine you're a company, you really focus on the models you're developing. For 2026, they're shifting to AI systems. So these are systems that utilize AI. So now your company has to worry about that now, which is a different set of requirements, a different type of things you have to keep track of. So you could imagine that if you don't have this automated in a certain way, you're just going to slow yourself down.
So let's talk about the specific frameworks. What are the three main ones enterprises need to know about right now?
Now, Deep touched on kind of the staggered nature of compliance deadlines for the EU AI Act. So kind of the big one that we're worried about next is August 2026. you know, we talked about the Colorado AI Act. That's got a June 2026 deadline for enforcement. You know, we're kind of seeing what else is going to get passed. Obviously, there are a lot of state laws. We talked about California. We've talked about NIST, but that's already in place. But we're, you know, everybody's looking out to see, will there be, you know, a comprehensive U.S. federal AI law, or will there be a state, you know, moratorium federal moratorium on state law.
I have a question because I know this comes up anytime you think about regulations and legal. We're always like, well, what if I don't do it? Or what if I do it after something kind of bad happened or it wasn't that bad? What do I really need to do? How do you set this up, or can you set this up afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, you can wait until after your first violation, right? I mean, and I think like that is an approach a company may take. You know, there is something to be said for waiting to see how a regulator is going to enforce a new regulation. But you probably don't want your company to be the first test case for that regulatory enforcement, right? It can be very expensive. Like new AI Act fines can be pretty high. And then, you know, having that fine on your company can also cause a loss of trust with your customers. And even if you don't get cited by a regulator, right, chances are your customers, your partners, your investors, your board members, they're going to want to understand what you're doing to ensure you're deploying AI responsibly, right? And so I think for these reasons, it makes sense to try to take reasonable steps to build out your governance infrastructure proactively. You know, I think that makes sense for any company that's leveraging AI, which is pretty much every company at this point.
So I think Andrea put that well. You don't want to be the first test case for regulatory enforcement. And it's not just fines, it's customer trust you lose when it comes out that you weren't taking this seriously. So here's what I want you to take away from the episode. Ravi, Peter, and Sampada showed us that AI governance isn't a brake on innovation. It's the rope that lets you climb faster. AI Control Tower gives you the visibility to know what you actually have, the workflows to manage it consistently, and the cross-functional coordination to move at the speed that business needs. And Andrea and Navdeep showed us exactly what's at stake if you don't. EU AI Act enforcement by August 2026. Colorado by June 2026, and a stack of growing state laws behind them, and an exponential compliance burden that only gets harder to manage the longer you wait to build the infrastructure. The good news is ServiceNow has already done the hard work of figuring out how to do it. So head over to servicenow.com/docs to check out all the implementation. And for more on AI Control Tower and ServiceNow's approach to responsible AI, head over to servicenow.com. And of course, check out the show notes for links to both of the original episodes and any additional resources. I'm your host, Bobby Brill. Thanks for listening.